Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the mighty creator once again. He is so worthy. Hallelujah. Calling him Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. You're going to hear me say those names. You're going to hear me say the Most High. He's the only true God in whom the saints, hallelujah, those who believe and follow his truth depend on. I have to have him. We believe in him. I must believe in him. We trust him. I must trust him. Yes, him. And we do it by his grace. Hallelujah. Through his beloved son. I thank him for today. As the Holy Spirit and I talk about the Son, the Savior, who died for this entire world, the Messiah, the anointed one who was sent, I also thank you, those who called in to join on Crown Talk and Drums Radio this early Sunday morning. It's June the 4th. Wow. The first Sunday in June. This time is ticking into the future. It's not going to stop and wait on nobody. We have to keep it moving. Amen. In the Father. We have to. We must. It's urgent. Hallelujah. It's just a minute or so or two after seven. Amen. Here, locally where I am, but it may be noon or maybe late at night or to someone tuning in right now. I don't know. Even listening to the recorded broadcast. Either way, I'm just grateful that you decided to add this broadcast time to your schedule, to your regimen for the day. I'm grateful. I don't take that for granted. So I just want to say welcome to For Such a Time as This Ministry. My name is Sarepta Cunningham. And as I stated, Elohim, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yah, Most High, you're going to hear me say those names throughout. I'm talking about the true God. Hallelujah. Just giving him his name that's due unto him, who he is. Yes, I'm thanking him for giving this opportunity in this space, in this season. I say this all the time because I mean it. It's an opportunity, and it's a space. It's a platform, and I'm grateful. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. This is where I'm at in my life right now, and he's giving me this ability to share of his goodness. It's all about him. Yes, his faithfulness, and he's giving it to me to encourage others, amen, and myself, yes, with his living truth, that truth that elevates him, yes, brings the very life of himself to the forefront, amen. It's all about him, and again, I'm so grateful. With all that we see when we turn on the news, I'm not a big news watcher. But when I turn it on and you hear conversations and get in conversation about what's going on in this world, you can see what's going on in this world as you discern it as a person of prayer, as you spend time with the Most High. Yes, when you go out about your daily activities, you see the evil and the wickedness that's going on around us in this world. And I'm just grateful. Yes, we're in this world. But we're not of this world as saints, the set apart ones. Amen. That's who we are. Amen. But it's so much going on in this world around us that we can see some of it happening even in our immediate family or those closely related to us or connected to us in some kind of way. They're affected by, you know, some may have been affected by the gun violence that's going on, all this teenage crime. Some of that may be going on in our family. We may know even someone in our family that, you know, had an abortion or maybe experiencing one or have the thought of having one even now. We don't know. I mean, all these things are going on, and we're affected by the food prices and, you know, the gas prices and all these things going on, so many mental instabilities. I mean, it's just the same stuff, and it's like a cycle, and you're seeing it more and more and talked about more and more. Amen. It's just the truth of what the time that we're living in. But these things were happening even back in the day. Some of these things were happening years, over 2,000 years ago, even in the time, hallelujah, before the Messiah came on the scene, when he was talked about coming. All wickedness, all kind of wickedness was going on. Men were even then lovers of themselves and not lovers of the Father, the Heavenly Father. Amen. So with all these things still going on, and in our time, we see things so much more evident. It's like it's gotten worse as we were younger. Times have just, you know, things have just gotten worse. And as we keep living, guess what? We're going to see even the more crimes taking place with all that's happening, and even the decisions possibly being made in our government, in the government of the world. Let's put it that way. Amen. We are of the King, King's kids. Amen. Though the government, we're just commissioned to pray for those who have that type leadership. All leaders, we're to pray for them. Amen. Amen. Pray that the Father put the right people in those arenas. Amen. But some of them, when evil gets there, guess what? He allowed it. It's not like the Father doesn't know what's going on. He allowed it. And just because he allows these things to happen and take place, because evil is still here. He created good, and evil was even there in the beginning. Because man fell, evil became prevalent because they ate of that forbidden fruit. And then immediately knowledge and awareness came about. Evil was already there. The temptation came. Who created it? Our Creator. Good and evil was created by the Father. Amen. But we have choices. Amen. And those of us who've chosen him, amen. We can see though all this stuff is going on, we know he still has the final say. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that when it hits home with us? But with all the, even with that, with all this going on, even there's still a time, if there ever was a time for encouragement, that time's now. If ever there was a time for fervent prayer, we know the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous, those who are in right standing with the Father. Amen. They avail much. They're dynamic and they're powerful. Hallelujah. In their working. Hallelujah. They have isousa. You know, there's a couple of different words translated in for power. There's dunamis and isousa. Amen. Hallelujah. Both of them means dunamis is more of a miracle, miraculous working power. Hallelujah. But then isousa is that power that just exists for things, that authority. Amen. And the Father has given it to us. Hallelujah. So I hope you come today, yes, with your spiritual ears open to hear. Hallelujah. Therefore, you'll be able to, once you hear what the Spirit has to say to us, you'll be able to walk with your spiritual eyes open, amen, to see what's really going on. Amen. I'm grateful for what the Holy Spirit has to say. I don't even know everything yet. I just know a few tidbits. Amen. But I'm grateful. Hallelujah. What he wants to say to us, that we can continue. Or if we're not right now, go forward being effective kingdom citizens. Amen. That's who the Most High has anointed and appointed us to be. For his kingdom, we want to be effective. Hallelujah. Amen. Doing the work of our Heavenly Father. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, yes, for this day. We give you all the glory, all the honor, for this day is brand new. Yes, it's a day we've never seen and we'll never see it again. And we want you to help us, hallelujah, through this day. You've allowed it. We're grateful. We have a new opportunity for mercies. For your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So guess what? We have new mercy. Thank you, Father. We're not going to get what we deserve for some of our actions. Hallelujah. And then we have this new grace of favor that we get what we don't deserve. They work hand in hand. We don't take that for granted, Father. We just thank you even the more. Thank you that you woke us up in our right state of mind. We have the use and the activities of our limbs. Someone may have woke up a little stiff or whatever, but has you got the movement? Hallelujah. The blood got to circulating in those body, in your body, in your joints, in your muscles throughout your body to help you move a little freer. Amen. Just thankful that our senses are even in operation, that we can feel, we can touch, we can taste, we can see, we can smell. Somebody doesn't have those senses operating today. And we don't want to take it for granted, Father. I know I don't. I can't. You're so good. Yes. We thank you for all your provisions. Thank you for this word that you prepared for us today at this table. We thank you that we've come ready and expecting to eat what you prepared for us. We just give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor. And Holy Spirit, I ask you now, as you and I together encourage the saints of the Most High and someone who may be listening who haven't made that decision or that choice yet to accept the Messiah as their personal Savior, we still, hallelujah, ask you, encourage you, Holy Spirit, to infiltrate this time as we are in your presence. And it is for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Pray this prayer in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the question I want to ask today, hallelujah, is can the Heavenly Father count on you? And when I say you, I'm talking about myself as well. Let's clear that up, because I'm not exempt. Can the Heavenly Father count on us? Well, what do you mean? That question can mean so many different things. No, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking when you hear that question, but I immediately think, can he depend on us? Well, you might ask another question behind that question. Depend on us for what? Especially if you don't know who he is yet. Can he depend on you to fulfill his will? To do what he's asking you to do? When someone might say, well, I don't know, what is he asking me to do? Well, I'm glad you asked that question too. When we come into the kingdom as a born-again believer, believing that the Heavenly Father sent his Son into this world to die for us, the Messiah. We call him Jesus. He is the Messiah. He came. The promised Messiah was promised to come all throughout the Torah, the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, so it's called. But it is the Torah. When he was promised to come, amen, he came. He came and he was revealed throughout the letters, or the New Testament, or the New Covenant, we may call it, the letters that are written. Amen. His promise coming from the Old, or the Torah, came in the New. We had the chance, because of the fall of man, we had the chance to accept him and believe that he is the Son of the Most High. And now we become believers. Hallelujah. So can he count on us to do his will, now that we've been coming and been engrafted into this new life? Hallelujah. Yes, where all things have become new, and everything that we did or have done is going to fade away. And some of it doesn't happen immediately. It's a process. It's always a process of living this new life. But even in living this new life, there are requirements. So that's really kind of the root of what the Father wants us to talk about. What's required, amen, in order for him to be able to count on us. What's required? And I want to bring a few analogies when you think about this life that we're living in this world, because we've been converted over, though, those who've made that decision, we're not of this world. But living in this life on this earth, there are certain requirements. Think about it. In order for you to go to school, when you're a little child, when you start pre-K or kindergarten or whatever, there's requirements that your guardian, your parent or your guardian, who's ever responsible for you, have to fill out paperwork. It's required. You think about, what does that word mean? Requirement, when you think about it, even the word itself, I pulled it up in the Greek meaning, because the scripture that I do have, well, I think I just have two, but more may come out, I don't know. But required is a word, epetuminos, I think that's how you say it in the Greek. But it's more of a need, a necessity, of something that sometimes we read these words throughout scripture and we take them lightly. We don't really look at, okay, what does that word really mean? We just skip over words as if they're just there, but they're there for a reason. And sometimes we have to really look at what those, when I heard that word required, well, when I heard the question, that word came to me. So what's required? So I had to do a little search. And there's a whole lot of words. If you do a word search on the word require or required, or you're going to find a ton of scripture in the Torah and in the letters. You're going to find a ton of scriptures talking about require or being required of or what's required of. So there's always a need. Hallelujah. There's always a requirement. And the Father has need of us. Yes, we need him. We require him, but he requires us to require him. Think about it. Something to think about. It's not about us in our own way of our thinking. That needs to be renewed daily. Not every now and again, or when you think so or feel. Sometimes we just pop off out of the mouth with just anything. And some of the words, sometimes even in jesting or joking around, the scripture talks against that. Do a word search on that. We're not supposed to be just gesturing and just popping off anything, because that's really just showing what's really in your heart. Out of the heart. The abundance of what's in the heart, the mouth's going to speak. As saints, as set apart ones, we have to be guarding what's coming out of our mouth. Amen. And a lot of times what we're looking at and what we're hearing has been more ingrained in us to have us to think. Now, sometimes we have us to think that what we're saying and the gesturing or whatever we're doing is okay, but it's not. The scripture talks too much against it in conversation. It talks against that gesturing. Look it up for yourself. I can mention some scriptures, but we're not going there right now. It just kind of came out, I reckon. It just kind of came up. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. I don't know. Holy Spirit, you are in control of this. Hallelujah. Amen. My mouth. I don't want to say anything that he is not putting on my mouth to say. And he knows that. The Father knows that. That's my prayer. Hallelujah. Even before I even get on here, that's my prayer before I go out the door. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's my prayer. I don't want to just be popping off at the mouth with anything. Amen. That's a requirement as well. Hallelujah. That's a requirement for us saints, set apart one. And those who may be listening, who haven't made that choice yet, I'm calling you by faith, hallelujah, a set-apart saint, hallelujah, fit to be used in the kingdom of the Most High, hallelujah. I call you. Yes. I'm believing he can count on you as well. Yes, he's going to be able to count on you. But life itself, as I was saying, there's so many requirements that have to be done. Even if we want to, as we grow, I'm talking about a little bit about education, I guess. It just kind of comes to my mind that right now. Thinking about even when you go to elementary, to junior high, to high school, middle school, college, all these requirements, there's requirements of paperwork or necessity. A lot of it is online now, but you still got to fill out information. They always have to have a legal address. Some things, even when you go online and fill out, there's an asterisk in red beside it. That means that information is what? Required. It's needed in order for you to complete this application. When you go for a job or interview, what do they require of you? 9 times out of 10, a resume. It's needed in order for you to get that position. You have to submit that first. Even if you were already a part of the equation and they wanted you ahead of time before they even picked you, they still require and ask for a resume. 9 times out of 10. Yes, that's the majority over the minority. Just thinking about all the requirements that are required on this earth. Amen. We have to think about application, not just for a job or the application just filled out in school, but even if you want to travel, traveling is part of my future. And I know that. I'm not sure how it's going to take place now, but I know it's in my mind, it's in my heart and my thoughts and things I can see that where I want to go and I can just visualize places. Well, in order for me to go to a foreign country, it's required that I have what? A passport. I didn't have one. I didn't have one, and for some years I've been saying I got to get a passport. My husband and I was talking about getting a passport. We even had the application, but we never filled out to get a passport. So now the process is going on. Amen. The applications I had here had went null and void. They were no good anymore. We had had them for so long, they were null and void. There's different requirements now. The requirements can change for anything because of all that's going on. So even to get a passport and to get an appointment, you have to wait in line now. They're not as easy because so much is going on in the world and all the evil is taking place and all the craziness of trafficking and all that that's going on, been going on, but it's being revealed now. It's been hidden for some time. But these things are being revealed now, so it's making legal measures amp up. So now it's even required to go to a foreign country, and that's been a requirement for some years. You have to have a passport. It's required, or you won't get there. You won't be able to go. Amen. So with so many things in this world system that we live in that have to be required. Other than that, you're not going to get to participate, or be involved in at all. So now, if the world has standards like that, what do you think is required from us, children of the Most High, as believers who are following the faith, who are learning over and over and over to continue to walk by faith and not by sight? Because what we're seeing can keep us consumed all by itself. We have to keep our eyes on what the word says. Amen. And what's those requirements in order that the Heavenly Father can count on you, can count on me? Well, just can count on us. What are those requirements? Well, one of the passages of scripture that came to me, and I didn't want to break just to it, because a lot of times I was even in some conversations on yesterday, and it made me come home, and when I got home, I started looking up some different things in the scriptures. But a lot of times when we just pull out one scripture and we don't have the history and the intent of why that was written, we can a lot of times speak it out of the context of why it was originally even mentioned or why it was even stated. We had to know what was going on in that timing in order to know how to apply that for our today. Amen. Some things that were going on back then, as even Paul was one of the apostles that really laid down some foundation. Amen. Some things he said, this is my thought. And then some things he said, this is from the Most High. Huh. But some things were his thought. We have to pay attention to the words and who's given the instruction. Yes, we know the scriptures all were inspired by holy men, written, inspired by the Father. But yet and still, even in that, in the scriptures, some men, Paul did a lot, gave his personal opinion in situations. We need to pay that attention. Amen. So I'm going to back up in this script. There's one main scripture that I wanted, but we're going to get to it. So I wanted to kind of give the little history of what's going on. And we're coming out of Corinthians, and it was a lot of the Corinthians were a body of believers that were still babies. Still on milk. They weren't growing. And Paul was going by. He was coming by to just check on them again. He was an apostle. Amen. We know that the gifts that are set in place, he was coming to help set order. Amen. Hallelujah. So here, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And I'm going to start at the very first verse. I'm reading out of the scriptures, so whatever you may be using, it may read a little bit different, but that's okay. I'm reading it from some of the words are honored in the original Hebrew text or original Hebrew writings or Hebrew names, let's say it that way. Yeah, even when it got over to the Old Covenant, some of the names were still in Hebrew our translation. Amen. So I'm starting at that first verse. And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you. This is Paul talking. Amen. Saul, I think that's how it's said in its original naming, was not able to speak to you as spiritual one, but as to fleshly, as to babes in Messiah. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not fleshly and walking according to man? That's something to think about. How many believers today are still walking fleshly, still walking according to man? See, this was written over 2,000 years ago, and these things are still happening today. That's something to think about. Fourth verse. But when one says, I am of Shaul or Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, they were teaching here, are you not fleshly? So many people put their faith and trust in a person, in a man, in a woman. I'm my dad. Yeah, we did come from our children. I mean, our parents, excuse me. We did come from our, I was getting ready to say one thing and children was going to be there, but it kind of blended the word. So we did come from our parents, and we may have some of their qualities, so to speak. But even in those qualities, whether they're good or bad, the Father wants to fine-tune them, hallelujah, to make them, to those areas, those things to bring honor and glory unto him. We don't stay in those things, especially when they're not good and they're not bringing honor as representations of him. They're not bringing glory and honor to his name. This is something to think about. 5, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? But servants through whom you believe has the master assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim was giving growth. Amen. I think in a lot of translations it says, but he gives the increase. Amen. Which is growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is any at all, but Elohim who gives the increase. See, that's who it's all about. It doesn't matter even as we're sharing with others, those who are not of the faith yet or those who kind of, in a backslid condition or those who you know, we talked about this a little bit. Was it last week, that lukewarmness? I don't know, some of the messages, and I continue to talk to them sometimes throughout the week when I'm sharing with others. Amen. But he don't want us to be either or. He said hot or cold. So even when we're sharing here, he said, but the key is it's not about you planning or somebody else coming about watering. It's all about the Father. It's about him giving that increase. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Some people want to get caught up where I've been ministering to them for a long time. And after, once they finally get saved, well, I was ministering to them for, well, good. All the praise and the glory don't go to you. It goes back to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the one that brings the increase. You just have to trust his word does just what it says. He said when his word goes out, it will accomplish that what he sent it out to do. It will not return back unto him void. The Father is his word. When his word goes out there, it doesn't return back void. It's up to us to believe it and don't cancel or nullify the word. Sometimes we can throw that word out there and then we come right back with negativity and nullify the very word you just spoke. Repent and say, Father, I nullified. I've done that before myself. Immediately I said, whoa. I nullified those words. I condemn those words right now. Because I'm believing for something. I'm believing the Father to do something. We have to be ever so mindful of what's coming out of our mouth. You can't talk one thing and then say or do another. Amen. I just love it. And he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So see, the one who waters, the one who plants, you did the same thing. So it's not about you being the one who did it first. It doesn't matter. Still, the Father's the one who's going to get the increase, and he's the one who's going to give you the reward. Expect it from him, not from man. Amen. For we are fellow workers. We work together, co-laborers of Elohim. I'm saying co-laborers myself. That's what we are. You are of the field of Elohim, the building of Elohim. That's who we are. We are kingdom citizens, building up the kingdom. Amen. It doesn't matter who does what, when they do it, how it's done to that person that needs to hear and curse. It's all in the timing of the Father, but he's the one who's going to get that increase. According to the favor of Elohim, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But each one should look how he builds on it. We have to be mindful. How are we building? Amen. It's required that we build the way the Father is expecting us to build. Not in our own strength. We need his strength. It's him that's working in us, giving us his strength. Amen. For no one is able to lay any other foundation except that which is already laid, which is Yeshua Messiah. So the foundation that we build on is the foundation that the Messiah came to walk on this earth. He was Elohim, God in the flesh. When he lived his example, he walked this earth. We ought to see how these letters, how he walked, what he did, how he talked. Amen. He's our example. The foundation has already been laid. So there's no other foundation that needs to be built. He is the rock, the solid foundation. The Messiah, the solid rock on which we as his people should stand. Amen. For no, at 12, and if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be revealed. Not might be, but will be. For the day shall show it up because it is revealed by fire. So if you're trying to build a foundation on anything when it comes to materialistic stuff, whatever you possess here, all this stuff here is going to fade away and be done away with anyway. Everything we can see that's tangible that we can touch naturally, it's leading away even now. It's deteriorating even now. Think about it. The moment you purchase a brand new car, the moment you drive off the lot, it's already depreciated in value. What does that tell you? It lets us know that everything around us is all going to be, it's temporal. It's temporal. It's fleeting. It's passing. Though the Father promised us these things, but these things, we will have these things, but we don't let these things have us. And we can't build people up with stuff. Amen. Some people may try to buy people or whatever, give to get in their graces. We have to know what's really going on. That's why it's important, as saints of the Most High, we spend that time in his presence, that we will be able to discern what's going on, that we will know those who are among us. Amen. We have to know the intent of what's going on around us, of another individual, because sometimes the intent is wicked and evil. And if we don't stay close to the Father for him to be able to reveal that to us, we're going to end up hurt along the way. And that's okay, because a lot of times we will get sidetracked. Hopefully we learn from those things and those situations and circumstances. And the fire shall prove the work of each one, what sort it is. If anyone's work remains, which he has built on, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, but so as through fire. So even if a person's dependency, even a confessing believer, is on stuff, eventually that's going to be tested. It's going to be go through the fire shown where you really are. What are you building this foundation of your faith on? See, it's required that we build on that solid rock, that firm foundation. That's the only way our Heavenly Father will be able to count on us to do what he has called us to do. Amen. Some tasks that he has commissioned each one of us to do, only we can do it. Only, not saying it's been done before, nothing's new under the sun. It's been done before. But when you're dealing with a different set of people or different, you are dealing with a different caliber of people, the younger generations are thinking different because a lot of the values have been done away with. And a lot of the the things that's coming in and infiltrating their thoughts and their minds is changing the old values. But there's still always going to be a remnant still teaching and preaching it and sounding the alarm down into the generations to come. Amen. So we definitely don't want to use that as an excuse. 16th verse. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? Do you not know that? We have to be kind. And I know every moment of the day, we may not be conscious of that. But the Holy Spirit is in us, dwelling in us, to quicken us, to help make us be conscious of that. With our actions, with what we're saying, we have to be conscious because it's required of us, amen, to know this, to understand, amen, who is dwelling us. If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him. For the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which you are. The dwelling place of the Most High is holy, set apart. And that's who we are. We're set apart. We're holy. Those who have made that choice, who have accepted the Messiah as their personal Savior. And when I say Messiah, you know I'm talking about Jesus. I'm just giving him his name, Yeshua. That's who I'm talking about. I'm just giving him his original name, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Yes, he is the Messiah. That's who we are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, in this world, come on, I'm talking about the wisdom of this world, have mercy. Let him become foolish so that he might become wise. In other words, you have believers that are not depending on the wisdom of the Father. Why you say that? Because it's true. We look at how the world operates and let me clear that up. Look at how the world makes decisions, and we want to make decisions the way they did. No, we have to look at it through the eyes of the Father and his word in prayer and what he said for us, using his wisdom, not the wisdom of man. So the wisdom of this age, and we know this age now, is totally different than it was 20 years ago. It's so much more opportunities out here. And the young people can make decisions based off of what they're seeing somebody else do on TikTok, based on what they see somebody else doing on YouTube. Come on, let's keep it real. It's so true. We must pray for our younger generation. Amen. And encourage them as much as possible. Get in their ears as much as possible. We don't want to be deceived. Don't want them to be deceived. 19th verse. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Elohim. For it has been written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. They're going to be caught in what they're trying to do. That's not of the Father. That's why we are different. We're holy. We're set apart. Our wisdom should come from the Most High. Some believers want to hold on to what the world is offering when it comes to making decisions. It's required of us, though, that we don't do that. And again, Yahweh knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are worthless. He's talking about the wise, the wisdom ones of this age. They're worthless. He knows our every thought. That's why we have to seek him for wisdom. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, the Most High, and he'll give it to us freely. Seek him for wisdom. We're making decisions all the time. That's required of us to make decisions. It's a necessity in this life. We have to make decisions, but we want to be able to make the one that's going to put us ahead of the game. Hallelujah. Make those decisions. That was something my husband used to always say to our youngest son. He used to say, son, you want to make decisions that's going to put you ahead of the game. And those decisions have to come from the word and seeking the Most High. He would say that comes from seeking God and what his word says. Amen. Because you'll know how to act at the moment. Some things happen immediate, like sudden, all of a sudden. And you got to know how to react or act in that situation. Let's say act, not react, because we want to be able to act in the right way, not react in a crazy way. Amen. So then let no man boast, no one boast in men, for all belong to you. Amen. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all belongs to you. The Father, the Most High, everything belongs to you. And you belong, I mean, all themselves, they belong to the Father. We belong to the Father. In other words, Paul was saying, don't allow me to be a dependency for you. I'm just here to help you. We don't want anyone to be a dependency on us. We're just there to speak the word to them. And sometimes it gets to the point where they don't even want to hear what you got to say. Those points when the Holy Spirit will lead you to shake the dust off, to just stand back and just pray and watch him move. Most times, he'll move even quicker when we step back and stop trying to add our own points to it or our own opinions to the situation. Amen. So they didn't want them to be boasting in them. Amen. They didn't want any boasting in them. And you belong to Messiah, and Messiah belongs to Elohim. See, we belong to the Son because we've accepted him. And he belongs to Elohim, so that makes us being grafted in to belong to him too. Amen? So the fourth verse, I mean the fourth chapter, let a man regard us as servants of Messiah and trustees of the secrets of Elohim. And see, it reads a little different in the King James or the other. It said, moreover, it is required. For the rest is sought in trust. It's sought in trustees that those should be found trustworthy. That second verse was the main thing. Moreover, it is required in stewards or trustees that a man be found faithful. And that's what the Father wants for us. It's required of us. As stewards, though Paul was talking about himself and those who was helping him to teach the Corinth people, that because they were still babies, they needed to grow up. Amen. And how many around us are still babies in the faith? They still feeding on milk, been drinking it for years, been saved, hallelujah, for years, and they're still in on milk. It's time to grow up. It is required of us as stewards, hallelujah, as Apostle and Paul, as Apostle Paul and Apollos, as they were there to help the foundation and grow them up, the people. Who are we sent to, hallelujah, for the time now that we're in, that we need to help come up in their faith? Who is it with that we're sent to? It's required of us. That's the question that the Father asked at the very beginning. Can he count on you? Can he count on me? It's required of us, stewards. We are entrusted with this word to share it, to encourage it, to display it in our lifestyle, in the way that we're making decisions, in the way that we handle our affairs and our business. We are being watched. We are being heard and listened to. Just like all those requirements and examples we talked about that this world has set in place, power has requirements for us. And they've been set in place for years. You can go back, as I said, do a word search. Amen. Some of the scripture that even came to me I was thinking about in Deuteronomy, and you know how Israel was the chosen people of the Most High, and the question was asked, what does the Master, your Elohim, require of you? That's in Deuteronomy 10:12. But to fear him, fear the Master, your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and your soul. That's required. Hallelujah. It was required even in the old, back in the Torah. It was required of us. And then even in Deuteronomy, it was talking about in the 18th chapter, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak of what's spoken in his name, I will require it of him. He's expecting it. It's needed. Even when it comes to our giving, it's a requirement to fund the kingdom of the Most High. Amen. He wants us to be faithful stewards in all that we're doing, in every area of our life. Faithful stewards. Amen. Trustees of the word. Trustees of our money. That's his money. I'm reminded again of another passage in Deuteronomy. I think it comes out of Deuteronomy. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh, your Elohim, thou shalt not slack the payment, for he will surely require it of you. And it will be a sin in you if you don't do it. In other words, it's going to be a sin in you. The Father has needs and requirements from us, from the Torah up unto the letters that have been written in the New Covenant, the New Testament, we call it. All of it's written for our learning. We can't do away with none of it. We need it all to make it. Hallelujah. To make it today. We need it all for such a time as this. The timing that we're living in. This world, this wickedness that's going on in this world. We need it. It is required of us that we be found faithful in all arenas of this world. Even when it comes to giving, I'm going to go to another passage of scripture. Luke, the 12th chapter. We're leaving 1 Corinthians 3 and a little bit, just the whole entire chapter 3, because I wanted us to see what was really going on before we got to Paul stating, don't be depending on us as men. We don't need nobody to depend on us as men, women. We're men, women. We're a woman with a womb. I mean, a man with a womb. We one man. We're still, man is still in our name as a woman. Amen. It's required of us all to be found faithful. Hallelujah. Faithful. Luke 12. And I am going to start at the 35th verse. Let your loins be girded. I'm reading out of the scriptures. Let your loins be girded and your lamp burning. And be like men waiting for their master when he shall return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, shall find watching. We got to keep our spiritual eyes open. We got to be able to hear and see in the spirit. Truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to eat and shall come and serve them. And he comes, and if he comes in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And know this, that if a master of the house had known what hour the thief comes, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. And you then, be ready, for the Son of Adam is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Peter, Akifa is his name in the Hebrew, and said to him, Master, do you speak this parable to us or also to all? And the master said, Who then is this trustworthy and wise manager whom his master shall appoint over his household to give the portion of food in due season? See, Yahweh said, Who is this faithful and wise steward whom the master shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of meat in due season? See, he talked about previously sitting at the table and eating. At the same time, we're watching. What are we eating? While we're in this process and in this season and in this time of life where we are, what are we feeding on when it comes to the word? In order that we will be able to be prepared to give it out. We will be prepared when he comes back for us. But he's coming. Whether he comes through the second watch, the third watch, it's talked about right here. And he's coming one way or another for his people. Some people are falling asleep in their sleep. I'm talking about sleeping on in him. Some of us are waiting on that return for the sky. Has that already happened? Some people think it's already happened. Some people think that event's already happened. I don't. But some people do. But he's coming back, ready or not. He's coming. Are we prepared? If we go out here today and some kind of freak accident happens and we're no longer here, are we ready? Has he been able to count on you? Has he been able to count on me? Have we done all that he's required of us to do to this present moment? That's why it's adamant, saints, set apart ones, or those who may be listening in who haven't made that choice yet, and the Messiah is not who you're patterning your life after. These things are required. This has given us something to really think about, to chew on it. It's even given right here when the Messiah was sharing this in Luke. My. He was talking here, talking to Peter. He said, Who then is faithful? I want to be found faithful to the end every day. Being conscious of what I'm doing, what I'm saying, every day being conscious of what required of me. Amen. It's required every day that we be found as a faithful steward. And I'm always praising the Most High for his faithfulness. I'm always blessing the Father, thanking him for his faithfulness, because he's faithful even when I'm not. Even when you're not faithful, nothing changes him. He's the constant one. He's consistent. He never changes. He never stops loving. He never stops giving. He never stops with his hands open to us to come. He never stops reaching out to us. He is faithful. And we count on him to be there for us. But my question to us, can he count on us to be faithful to him? He needs us to be faithful. He needs us to be faithfulness is just being consistent, being steady in what you believe, being steady and believing in the word. That's what faith is. We say, we quote it all the time, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Really? What just might have happened yesterday in your life and you didn't walk in faith with it? What you saw moved you. And immediately nothing about the Father came to your mind. Nothing about the Word came to your mind. Most all the time the Word comes to my mind. Sometimes I don't say nothing. I just think it. But then sometimes I open up my mouth. A lot of times I do. But I think it a lot of times, depending on where I'm at, just to keep my own self in check. We have to do that. That's why our minds have to be renewed. It's important. It's adamant. We have to be intentional with our walk. It's required of us to be intentional so that we can be found as faithful. We can be a man found faithful. Man, woman found faithful. Hallelujah. For the kingdom. In the kingdom of the Most High. We are kingdom citizens. And we want to represent him well. It's just true. He needs us. He needs people that he can count on. He needs us. He needs us. I want him to count on me. I want him to. And no, yes, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But can the Father count on us to be his hand, to be his mouthpieces, to be his feet, to go where he leads us to go? We need to pray for that daily. Sometimes people can invite you to this, that, or the other. You better pray about it. Don't just say, okay, I'm coming. Did you pray? Did you ask the Father, is it okay? Sometimes I slip up with that, and then I get there, and I'm like, ooh, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to be here, but I'm there then. I'm already there. And I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? I'm sure I'm not the only one, because that, at that moment I didn't ask. I just went. I tell you, it is something that we have to pray about everything. I'm serious. Some people don't think you do. I think we do. I think we have to pray about it. I'm going to my brother and I are going to a jazz thing today, a jazz thing in Charlotte. And I said, Father, I talked to him about it first. Is it okay? And then I called my brother. And we were back and forth phone tagging. But I got the approval first from the Father. I wanted to make sure it was okay. He knows I like jazz, but I still got to be kind of conscious of where I'm going and what I'm doing. Amen. He knows where I have a love for that type of for jazz music. It's just so peaceful to me and relaxing. It relaxes me. I just really love jazz. I do. And but I'm in certain types of jazz I'm not about, but certain types of jazz I just really like it. I do. Amen. I have a love for jazz. And he knows that. But see, one thing about the Father. As we're in this final hour, and I believe we're in the final hours, it's like, you see, I mean, maybe it's the time where we are and the age we are now, but we're seeing more patriarchs getting up out of here of the faith, patriarchs in the faith getting up out of here. Some of them live real long lives. You know, a lot of times people go with that three score and 10. You know, is that yeah, some get a little extra that was stated from the old covenant. But if you even if you go back to the Torah, 120 years is what was promised. A lot of us don't expect that, though. That's why we say somebody's 60 or 70 or whatever. You say, I'm old. No, you're still young. You just, in 60, you're still in your midterm. You're still in your mid-prime. But we think the world has us thinking a different way. That's because, and the word, the scripture lets us know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have to know what this word says to us. Study it out. Read and study it out. Meditate on it. Get it in your inner man so you can become it regardless of what you're hearing around you. You'll be able to share it. Amen. Be able to encourage it. It's up to the individual to accept it. But see, nobody going to be shaking my faith in what I believe, in what I'm thinking, because the Father gave it to me. Amen. I'm going to share it. And no, I'm not perfect. I may miss it sometimes because I'm not perfect. You're not either. We all might miss it. They missed it in the Word. Missed it and messed up. Think about Moses, how he was selected. Why did the Father choose him? Because he knew he could be found faithful. But he even messed up. He came to mind, but he even messed up. He was able to peep over into the promised land, but because he didn't do, he struck the land. He didn't tell him to strike the ground with the rod. And because of that disobedient act, Moses did not make it to the promised land. He was able to peep over and see it, but that was it. He got up out of here before that. He hindered his own self. Although he was faithful, he still messed up. We can look at a whole lot of the fathers of old and even the mothers. They made mistakes. We still going to make mistakes. But it's still required of us that we be found faithful in all that we do. And in everything that we do, Colossians tells us we do it all as unto him. Everything we're doing it as unto the Father. When you go to that job or workplace, a place of employment, when you go out to the grocery store, whatever you're doing, whatever act of service that you're doing, you should be doing it as unto the Father. He sees everything anyway. He's omnipresent everywhere, all the time, at the same time. There's nothing that he doesn't see. And then he's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. I mean, all-powerful. He has all power. He's omniscient, which means he knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. So why not, amen, be that steward, amen, knowing that we would be found faithful. Just like the Father needed Moses, he needs you, he needs me, he needs us to be faithful and alert to spiritual things. Because we can be alert to all that's going on in this world, in this worldly realm. We can have the wisdom that the world has, make decisions based off of what they did and how they're doing it. But if it doesn't line up in the realm of the spirit, it's incorrect. It's not the wisdom of the Most High. That's why I always encourage us to come even to this platform with the spiritual ears open to hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the body of believers, that we will be able to go out and see spiritually what's really going on. I hope you're getting that, because the Holy Spirit keeps having me say that. And for those who keep coming here, I know I have some returns over and over and over, keep coming here. You're going to hear the same thing because that's what's ingrained in me. I got to see really what's going on. I question it. And when I'm walking about my day, a lot of times I'm never alone. But though I am by myself naturally, I'm never alone. I'm always talking to the Father. I'm always asking him about this and about that. You've heard me talk about that. I question him all the time. And it's not that I don't have lack confidence or anything. I just want to make sure and be sure. I'm like that naturally. When I have questions, I'm going to ask, what do you mean? What are you saying? I need to be, give me the details. I'm a detail kind of gal. Yes, I am. It's okay. That's the way I'm sure quite a few of you are that way too. And it's okay. He knows how he made us and why he made us the way he made us. And I'm glad about that. But we need each other. We need him first and foremost, and we need each other. Amen. He wants to be able to trust and know. He wants us to be able to trust and know his word, yes, and be obedient to it. That's it. That's the statement I'm trying to make. He wants us to know, trust, and know his word and be obedient to it. When we do that, amen, we will be found faithful. And he can continue to count on us. Amen. I want him to count on me. I want him to be able to count on me. I want him to be able to count on you. We're in this together. The purpose in this kingdom building is the same. We saw that even as Paul was sharing in Corinthians. He said it's the same goal. One of us is watering. One of us planted, one of us is watered. But the Father, our Most High God, he gives the increase. He's the one. That's what it's about. It doesn't matter who does what when. Nobody gets the brownie point. He's going to reward us individually. When our heart is right about it. But when you want those brownie points from man and wanting looking to man to give you this and that, those accolades, you're heading in the wrong direction. It comes from the Father. I want his approval. I want his approval now, and I want to be able to hear him when he calls my name home. I want to be able to hear when I set before the judgment seat. I want to hear, well done. That's all I need to hear. Those two words. But the scripture talks, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to prepare ourselves. I think I'm going to finish the rest of those verses because I stopped right there at, 42? So 43, blessed is that servant whom his master shall find so doing when he comes. Amen. Staying prepared. That's what he wants us when he comes for us. You know, like it talks about here, if the thief knew when someone was going to break in, they would have been prepared. So we know he's coming. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we being found faithful? It's a requirement that we be found faithful, faithful servants. Amen. Truly I say to you that he shall appoint him over all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male servant, the female servant, and to eat and drink and be drunk. This is somebody that's taking advantage of whatever they've been given to do. The master of that servant shall come on a day when he does not expect. Sometimes people don't have, and we have need of patience. We need it. We need patience to continue on in this journey. We have to have the patience of the Most High. He gives it to us. So we won't give up. So we won't cave in and quit. Amen. So when he does call our name, we're prepared. We have been found that requirement of a faithful steward, hallelujah, is found in us. Amen. Mm. See, and see, this servant here, as Paul was talking about in that 46th verse, the master of that servant shall come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and shall cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. So he's going to get paid like the unbelievers get paid. What does the unbelievers get paid? If you think about it spiritually and it comes to your life ending and you're not ready, you're not going to hear well done. You're going to hear depart from me. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear well done. See, we're believers. We're believers in the faith. Oh, and I'm so grateful. We're believers, or we're becoming believers. I don't know who may be listening. It may be someone that's not a believer yet listening. But yeah, yet again, I'm calling you in by faith. I'm believing that you've heard a profound word. I don't know if I'm a planner, or if the Holy Spirit is using me to be a waterer today. But either way, the Father, hallelujah, is giving the increase. He's going to. It's already done. I believe it. I decree it, and I declare it in his name. Hallelujah. And that servant, 47, who knew his master's desire and did not prepare, nor did according to his desire, shall be beaten with many stripes. See, that right there, that's that damnation. Mm. Depart from me. That's what that is. We want to be a servant to what degree the Father has called us to. We may serve. We all have one common goal. That's to bring glory and honor unto the Father. And we all, it might look different in our services and what we're doing, what he has us doing in our separate calling. In our separate chosen calls, let's put it that way. Because they are separate. But yet and still nothing's new under the sun. But how he has us going, or the areas he has us in, are we being found faithful in those areas? Even when it's just one or two that may be involved in that. You have to, when there's a task for you to do and it's been given to you and instructed to you to do it by the Father, you have to do it as if it's thousands. You have to stay the course. Endure the process. Don't cave in and quit. Don't give up. There's no time for that. But such a time as this that we're living in, it's even the more required that we be found faithful. Because when you look at what the world is dictating, and you keep your eyes on that, that can just easily distract you and pull you off your assignment. Mm, mm, mm. 48, but he who did not know, yet did what deserved flogging, shall be beaten with few. And see, that's the key. When you know and don't do it. When you've been instructed and it's been sounded down over and over again to you, to remind you, to encourage you on. That's a difference. See, some may not know fully, so they'll just be beaten with few stripes. And everyone to whom much is given, for him much, much shall be demanded. And to whom much has been entrusted, for him much more shall be asked. Mm. Much is given, much is required. Mm. Much is given, much is required. The Father knows what he's given us, and he knows what's required from us. So my answer, my question again is, can he count on you? Can the Heavenly Father count on you? Father, I want you to count on me. I'm going to unmute the line. If there are any comments pertaining to the message, any questions pertaining to the message or any prayer requests, and then we'll close out in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's just have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for visiting us today. Thank you for this time that you spent with us as we share. With prayer and expectation that going forward, even the more, you will be able to count on us. We thank you. So many things are required in this walk. We can look it up. We can study it, meditate on it for ourselves. But Father, so much is required of us, not just from the natural standpoint of this world, but most important, the spiritual standpoint of where we will spend eternity. Help us, Father, even the more to know and learn of what's required of us. You need us just as much as we need you. We're your hands, we're your feet, we're your mouthpieces, we're your eyes, we're your ears. Help us to be sensitive in the realm of the spirit, and we thank you for that. We just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor for what you're doing in us as individuals and what you're doing in us as a collective body of believers. We thank you. We need each other as well. Help us to continue on, to stand together in this good fight of faith as we go about this day and the remainder of this week, the beginning of a new week today. We thank you that you're going forth before us, that you're going to keep us in all our ways. You're going to keep back danger, seen and unseen. Keep them back. Hold them back. We loose our angelic host to go forth before us. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We speak your shalom peace to our household, our homes, and those connected to us. We thank you. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor for who you are and knowing that we belong to you. Hallelujah. If anyone's listening right now and they don't belong to you yet, they will. We call it. We decree it. We stand in agreement. And we thank you for it. We pray this prayer. And you know everything that's needed. You promised to meet the need exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. We thank you for doing just that, Father. Watching over your word to perform it and bring it to pass. It's in the name of your beloved son, Yeshua, we pray. Amen, amen. And we speak his shalom, shalom, shalom unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.